Today is January 20th, 2016. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 15,766, the NASDAQ at 4,471, and the S&P at 1850, I think is the number here. We're talking about Medicare disenrollment tonight and the impact of your income on your Medicare premiums. I'll talk about that toward the end of the show. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So tonight we are discussing Medicare disenrollment with Daniel Banks. Dan is the president and co-founder of Silvercrest Insurance, Inc., with offices in Bethlehem and Macungie. Silvercrest is an independent insurance agency specializing in Medicare insurance plans. They work with a variety of insurance companies offering Medicare supplements, prescription drug plans, and Medicare Advantage plans. And Dan has been on the show already a couple times. Thank you for coming back, Dan.
Well, thanks for having me back, Lord.
Dan was almost going to have to host the show tonight if I didn't make it here on time. And I figured he's experienced enough. He could just run with it.
Oh, yeah, me a little nervous there.
But it's nice to have someone that we can rely on for information that I myself find complicated and hard to navigate. So if you are someone who is out there who kind of wonders how to navigate the Medicare choices that one might have, I think it's a little confusing. I'm sure that the system doesn't mean to be, but there are just so many different options that people have when we are talking about Medicare. There's things called open enrollment, and then there's disenrollment. And Dan was here, I think, back in the fall when we were in annual enrollment.
Right, we were, I think, September?
Yeah, so September. Now we thought, since there's something called disenrollment, we should have you back to talk about this. Folks, if you have questions then, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So Dan, can we start with like a review of what we call the alphabet soup of Medicare?
Yep. Basically, what I use as a, you know, to kind of navigate through with clients, especially either we're going to be sitting down with each other or I'll email this to them online. It's a diagram called Medicare Basics. And it really takes all everything out there. I mean, the thousands of pages of documents and all the insurance company marketing that people get in their mailbox. And it really puts it on one page that, you know, where we can use it as a talking point and just break through all that. And I've been doing this for years, and this is the best way I've found to really explain the differences in coverage and, you know, what's A, B, C, and D actually represent. So if, you know, that document actually can be found, there's a book called Medicare and You, which is about a 130-page book. You can get it online. Most people on Medicare get that mailed to them at some point. It's also in the Medigap book, which is a book specifically about Medicare supplements. So it exists in, you know, many different areas, but
But that book, if I could just jump in for a second.
Sure.
You said that book is how big?
I think it's like 130 pages.
Okay, so 130 pages, but there's one diagram in particular people should look at because it helps kind of give them a little bit of that understanding,
yeah,
that basic understanding. And from there, then they can go on to probably have better informed conversations in making the decisions.
Yeah, I mean, you would, you know, we kind of explain it like we're going to take a 30,000 foot view and then, you know, we'll get deeper into it. But realistically, I mean, this really helps explain it in a way that the layperson can understand. You don't have to be an insurance expert, but our job as the insurance experts is to really make this really complicated, confusing process more understandable for the average person, because let's face it, if you don't do insurance, you don't really care much about it other than, you know, it's kind of a necessary evil. But
so the diagram shows kind of different choices in coverage, mm-hmm. and one says original Medicare and one says Medicare Advantage. So let's talk about the letters in Medicare under original Medicare.
Right. So if we're looking at the diagram, it's basically, it's saying your Medicare coverage choices at a glance, and it's saying that you have two different ways to get coverage. So it's either you have original Medicare, which is you're going to have A and B Medicare. And by the way, you'll have A and B Medicare no matter what you do. But if you have original Medicare, A and B Medicare, and then add a supplement to it and a prescription plan, that would be one form of having coverage. So Medicare is your primary coverage at that point. When you go to a provider, a doctor, a hospital, they actually bill Medicare. And then if you have a supplement, typically Medicare bills your insurance company directly these days. They call that a Medicare crossover. So the doctor doesn't even really deal with the insurance company. And that's kind of nice. And as, you know, this world becomes more and more electronic in the records and everything, it's pretty clean. I'm not sure if every single company does that now. I'm sure if they don't, they're all moving to that. But so at any rate, so that's the one form of coverage. You have A and B Medicare, and then you have...
And A is the hospital insurance, and B is the medical.
Okay. B is the medical, so doctor, mm-hmm. and basically everything else. And then there's the gaps in Medicare, which would be the deductibles and the coinsurance. So, of course, Medicare doesn't pay everything when you go to the doctor, the hospital. If you only have Medicare A and B, you're going to be paying approximately 20%, a 20% coinsurance. And I'm really generalizing because it's, you know, it's mm-hmm. obviously it's a little bit, there's a little bit more detail involved. But the supplement, so the Medicare supplement, they come in 10 different plans, just to make it easy for everyone. And the 10 plans cover a variety of that 20%. So obviously the less you pay for a plan, the less coverage you're going to have. So the more you pay for a plan, the more comprehensive it's going to be. The F is in Frank plan is the most comprehensive plan under Medicare or Medigap, and really essentially pays all the deductibles and coinsurance under A and B Medicare. So it's pretty good. It's a pretty good plan. The advantage of having that type of coverage really is that you can go to any provider or any hospital that accepts Medicare. So there's no network. If the provider accepts Medicare, because the plans are federally standardized, no matter what insurance company you have, that plan is the plan. And you don't have to worry about whether your doctor accepts that particular company, be it Aetna or Capital or Highmark or Geisinger. You just have to be concerned that they accept Medicare, which most providers do.
And that plan is called F?
Well, it's F is the most comprehensive, but it could be A, B, C, D.
But it's a supplemental plan. It's one of those 10 supplemental plans you mentioned that we could have. Okay. We're going to go through more of the ABCs, and then we're going to talk about some of the options and in Medicare, and then get to what disenrollment means as well. Folks, if you have questions about Medicare in general, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening Daniel Banks, president and co-founder of Silvercrest Insurance, and we are talking about Medicare disenrollment. But in order to understand disenrollment, we need to understand Medicare and what might someone disenroll from. So we're kind of going through the ABCs of Medicare coverage right now. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And as we go through the show, hopefully before the end of the show, I'm also going to touch on cost of Medicare premiums and how those get adjusted and how you can maybe do a little planning around them. So, Dan, we covered original Medicare being Part A hospital insurance and Part B medical insurance. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the supplemental plans that people can have to cover the coinsurance amount, the amounts that aren't covered by Medicare. What is Part C and D? So we did A and B. Let's talk about C and D.
C and D. So D, again, is D for drug. That's the drug plan under Medicare, the drug program, I should say. And basically, sometimes people think there's a government drug plan. There isn't. These are private insurance companies that are subsidized by the federal government. So when you sign up for a drug plan under Medicare with whatever carrier you choose, they're getting a subsidy on your behalf. And in addition, you might pay a premium. And then you're going to have coverage and pay various copays, pretty similar to what, you know, the average individual mm-hmm. might have when you go to the drugstore. If you have an expensive drug, you'll probably pay a little bit more. If you know, cheap drugs are cheap. So that whole setup, so that's A, B, supplement plus D. That is a whole package that you might have. And then the alternative to that is the Medicare Advantage Plan, Medicare Part C, sometimes called a Medicare replacement plan because it actually replaces Medicare. And it has that same similarity to the drug plan. So if you sign up for a Part C Medicare Advantage plan, again, you're going to a company. It could be, you know, Highmore, Capital, Aetna, Geisinger, Humana. They all have them. And that person will sign up for that C plan. And what the C does is it combines your A and B and D plan into a regular plan that most people are familiar with, like a PPO or an HMO plan. And again, it replaces Medicare. So when that person goes to the provider, doctor or hospital, they use their insurance card and the insurance company is billed. And then they may have copays or coinsurance based on the benefits of that particular plan. And believe me, there's many different plans. There's different tier levels of plans. So depending on how much they pay the company, the additional premium they pay the company is going to determine the how comprehensive that coverage is. But they're generally going to have copays for everything. So it could be a doctor copay, but it could be, you know, if they have an MRI, they're going to pay something.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Because when I do tax returns and I see folks come in with their Social Security statements, mm-hmm. for the people who are 65 and older, who are typically Medicare age, I will see a Medicare premium out of that Social Security statement. Mm-hmm. That's Medicare. That's the A and B we're talking about, but that's the B portion. The A's already been paid for. A's already paid for, so it's B. So if someone's on the C plan, do you know this off the top of your head? Would I not see that on their Social Security statement?
Yes, you will.
Is it coming out of their Social Security, the C?
That's a good question. They're still going to pay Part B just as they would. You know, everything will be the same there. Okay. In addition, they may have a premium to the insurance company that if they have a C plan, they could have an additional payment come out of their Social Security because the program is linked, you know, okay. to the insurance companies. So say that premium's another $150. They could also choose to have it come out of their Social Security okay. statement.
They could choose to, but they don't have to.
They don't have to. They can pay through their bank account or, you know, they can make payments to the company. But they're always going to pay that Part B premium
okay.
no matter what else they do because that's part of the money that goes to the insurance companies to pay for their benefits. So
okay.
when they transfer their coverage over to the Advantage plan, which is the replacement plan, Part C Medicare, essentially the insurance company, the government's saying, okay, you got this, insurance company, you're the insurance company, they're gonna you're gonna pay all the claims, so they handle all the claims and they administer the benefits on mm-hmm. behalf of the Medicare beneficiary. So the government is sort of out of the out of it at that point.
Okay.
So which can be good and bad. I'm gonna have to say I'm not a tremendous fan of that program, Medicare Advantage, okay. although it definitely has its place and can be very beneficial for a lot of people. But there's certain things about it that that can be kind of hamstring it a little bit.
And that's where the decision making for people who are Medicare eligible, it becomes so confusing because they can either stick with the A and B and then choose a supplemental plan
right.
or go with the Advantage. So how does someone go through navigating that decision?
That's kind of a good point because it is an important decision, and that's actually a good segue into the enrollment periods because when they first go on to Medicare, it can be very overwhelming. And our job as agents is to help them get through that process. We like to think we're pretty good at it. But sometimes people can't find us or people like us, and they may end up doing it themselves, asking the advice of friends or neighbors or, even providers. And they may end up in a plan just because, their neighbor Jim down the street, that's what he has. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not the right plan for them. And that's why, when they make that decision the first time, the government gives them a chance to get out of it. They give them a year to actually get out of it and go, into another type of coverage. So they're given opportunities to change plans. And those are the enrollment periods. But there does become a point where if they get a couple of years out, their options as they go years out diminish, and especially if their health is, if they're, not in good health, eventually their options become very limited. So you really have to, when you're right around, when you're 65, if you're going on Medicare, whenever you go on Medicare the first time, for the first couple of years, what you do is extremely important because you might end up in a plan for the rest of your life that you don't want to be in.
So you want to make sure you're getting a good plan.
Right.
And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to navigate that and then what disenrollment means when we come back from our next break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening Dan Banks, president and co-founder of Silvercrest Insurance. We're talking about Medicare planning and how to navigate the various options you might have and the various periods where you can make decisions and choices one being the annual enrollment, one being disenrollment. So, Dan, before we took our, let me mention the phone number again, 610-758-8810. If you have questions, you can talk live on air with us or give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. So, annual enrollment. We were talking about folks have to be very careful when they're turning 65 and signing up for Medicare as to what plan they choose, because they could be locked in, and they could be locked in for the reason that if they have health issues, they may not be able to get another plan, or...
Right. The one... So, the when you have Medicare as your primary coverage with a supplement, the supplemental plans, the A through N, so there's actually 10 plans, those plans are... The companies have to insure... people coming in, Medicare beneficiaries, they have a six-month window that they don't have to answer any medical questions. After that window, when they're first eligible for Medicare, that's their open enrollment period. Then all bets are off. The insurance companies are now able to ask them questions about their health. So down the line, where it becomes important is if you're on a particular plan and you're trying to switch and you have any kind of, you know, serious chronic condition, you know, you could have a hard time getting coverage with another carrier. So that type of coverage, if you feel that that's the coverage, and we really feel that's the best, you know, it's more comprehensive and gives you more options, that's where you want to be starting out, because if you are on the other side in a Medicare Advantage plan, you may have limited opportunities moving forward to come back to original Medicare.
Because then they can ask those medical questions?
Because then they can ask those medical questions. And that's actually where the Medicare disenrollment period becomes more of a strategic time period for us to help people who are on Medicare Advantage plans who want to come back to original Medicare and go into a supplement. We use that time to do that. So kind of giving that away in advance, but that's really what that time is for. There's not too many other reasons I can think of as to why people would utilize the disenrollment period other than really not wanting to be in a Medicare Advantage plan. So you know, that basically I just gave you the definition of the disenrollment period, but we can talk about that as well.
Yeah, I want to say that again, but I had a question come in where someone asked, they said they were recently approved for Social Security disability and Medicare. Should I stay on my spouse's plan or drop it and go on Medicare? And he currently pays for his coverage on the spouse's plan. Now, I thought I'd ask this question at this time only for the reason that if he stays on the spouse's plan, even though he's Medicare eligible, if he doesn't go on the Medicare, let's say he stays on the spouse's plan, and 2 years from now he decides to go on Medicare, maybe he's not 65 yet because this is, you know, Social Security disability, and he's going on Medicare because of that,
right,
or would be eligible. Let's say he stays on the spouse's plan. 2 years later, he turns 65 and is going to go on Medicare. Does he have that same right at that point for the 6 months, or would they say, hey, you were eligible 2 years ago and you didn't take it, so we can ask medical questions?
No, now? He actually has... He's eligible for a special election period anytime he comes off that group plan.
Okay, so you could be on a group plan and not taint your
question. You're fine as long as you're covered under credible coverage, which most group plans are. And he can go, you know, he can be 70 years old and still on that group plan and on Medicare via disability as long as his spouse's employer has over 20 employees.
Okay.
So now you start getting into other rules about that. But
all right. So then, okay, so now he has this option. So here he is. They say you can take Medicare or you can stay on your spouse's plan, but the spouse's plan, he pays about $200 pre tax for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he goes on Medicare, he'll have the Part B premium, which is about $105. $120.
It went up, it
keeps,
actually.
Yeah, yeah, it keeps going up.
Keeps going up.
So the Medicare premium Part B goes up. But then he would also have to get his own supplemental plan, then, I would expect.
The analysis becomes, you know, of course, the what he's paying now, and you can figure the taxes in there, pre-tax, I don't know, would he add another 20% to that mm-hmm. premium? And then you have to look at the monthly cost of the premiums, but you also have to look at his plan now. You know, do you have a deductible on your plan? If he has a $1,000 deductible, I'll just divide it by 12 and pretty much add that in. And most people understand that. They'll agree with that, especially if you're, you know, if you're on via disability, you're probably predisposed to having some doctor visits. And the other, but the really, the pivotal thing is the Medicare prescription drug plan. That's where we would request a list of his medications. Of course, if you know they want to share that with them, most people will do that. We'll look up a drug plan for them. That's where you can have some issues. If you're on a lot of medications, they're expensive, you may just be better off on the group plan. So it really requires some careful analysis and figuring out. It's not rocket science when you boil it all down, but you definitely have to give
Well, it's not rocket science to someone who does it all the time, but it's rocket science for someone who only has to do it maybe once in their life or and have like a little periodic checkup.
Right.
So that is something that you would do. Even typically, I think of Medicare as being, you know, age 65, but I'm sure there are a lot of cases where people who are on disability might qualify for that Medicare.
We as an agency have people come through every month. You know, that way they're a little bit of a special circumstance because again, there's considerations you have to, you know, because again, they're probably more likely to go to the doctor more. They may have, things, you know, that they, where they're going to have higher medical costs. So, also not all Medicare supplement carriers treat the disability premiums the same way. Some of them actually have higher premiums. So there's a little bit more involved in doing that.
But I think it was a good question. It was a good question
and
a great answer to demonstrate the complexity of it, that it's not so simple as just what is the premium I'm paying. It's looking at the deductibles. It's looking at the prescription drug coverage. It's looking at any number of things as well. So those supplemental plans, A through N, there's 10 plans in there. It's the same thing. You would look at what kind of drug coverage someone needs or what kind of copays or doctor visits they plan to have, because there might be a plan that would be better for someone who's fairly healthy.
Yeah, I mean, versus there's 10 plans, but for all intents and purposes, we sell three, you know, and not because those are the ones we promote. It's just when you start looking at benefits versus the premiums they would pay, only really three of them make a lot of sense, you know, and that would apply in Pennsylvania. I'm sure in other states that it might be a little different, but
because it's also the risk of if there is a change in health, you want a plan that they can get into now that will serve them over the next several years.
Right.
Is that right? Because you can't switch necessarily easily.
I mean, and you would know this. I mean, the worst time to try to make a change with insurance is after you get sick.
Right.
No matter what kind of insurance you're talking about. So that same philosophy would apply here.
Okay, great. When we come back, we're going to talk again about the disenrollment period and why that's important. The phone number tonight, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Currently down to 30 degrees. Tonight, a 20% chance of isolated snow showers with a low around 20. Tomorrow, Thursday, sunny with a high near 35. Thursday night, a low around 18. For Friday, a 20% chance of snow after 4 p.m., increasing clouds with a high near 33. Friday night, a 90% chance of snow, mainly after 7 p.m., low around 22 degrees, and new snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches possible. Saturday, again, a 90% chance of snow, high near 29. For Saturday night, a 50% chance of snow with a low around 20 degrees. There is a forecast worthy of the month of January, Lori. Right there. Snow.
Snow.
So good luck to you and Dan both this weekend.
Yeah, thanks. Folks, you're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have in the studio with me this evening Dan Banks, co-founder of Silvercrest Insurance, who specializes in Medicare plans and helping folks navigate through that. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call and talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. It is certainly something complicated to navigate. So, Dan, we talked about now the difference between original Medicare, Part A and Part B. Typically, people get a supplemental plan with that, and that's where you talk about those 10 supplemental plans, A through N.
Right.
Typically, three are the, you know, the ones that are going to carry folks through a number of their elderly years with coverage that they is appropriate for them. And then we have the alternative Medicare Advantage plan, which is what we call Part C, which is really a bundle of A, B, and
D.
So folks go into original Medicare when they sign up. If they decide, and the supplemental plan they buy separately from Medicare, they go and buy that on their own, or they work through someone like you, an
right,
agent, to help them pick that.
Private plan.
Okay. Medicare Advantage, they do when they're signing up. When do they sign up for the Medicare Advantage plan?
It would be the same thing. I mean, they're going to do one or the other.
Okay.
In their open enrollment period, they're going to typically choose one or the other option.
Okay.
And they'll also work, you know, we work with those plans too. But you know, they may call the companies directly and enroll directly. You can go online and actually enroll on Medicare.gov. So just depending on how they do their research and how they end up making their decisions is really more of a function of how they're going to pick their coverage. But
okay, so let's say they went with a Medicare Advantage plan and they find out it's not all that they wanted it to be and they want to get out of it.
Well, and that I think is precisely why the government came up with the Medicare disenrollment period. It first started in 2011, was the first time that they introduced that time. And, you know, it's really, that's really all that they can do is get out of their Medicare. They can disenroll from their Advantage plan because the Advantage plans typically have their drug plan in it. They would want to pick up a prescription drug plan at that time, which is, you know, that's the swap that they're making. Once they sign up for the drug plan, it'll automatically disenroll them from their Medicare Advantage plan. Now, you really wouldn't want to do that without having already found a Medicare supplement plan. So this is really where the details. So basically, if you're going to make that kind of a choice, number one, if you're within 12 months of having signed up for Medicare within your open enrollment period, you have a one-time option to go into a Medicare supplement plan with no medical underwriting, okay, within the first 12 months. Mm-hmm. So they have that option. And then,
so if someone had signed up, they just turned 65,
mm-hmm.
they maybe just in a panic had to pick something, they went with a Medicare Advantage plan. 6 months later, they realized, shoot, this isn't for me.
Right.
They have to wait until the disenrollment period, but they're still within 12 months maybe of signing up
right.
for Medicare.
Exactly.
And the disenrollment period's January 1st or February 14th.
Correct.
That's when they can switch back out of it without having to have the medical review.
Right. So there's their window I mean, they also have the open enrollment period. They could do that same thing, but you know, again, it just gives them an extra time period where they can make that change, or maybe they signed up for a plan during the open enrollment period and then figured out that that wasn't the right thing to do. And you know, so there's probably a few different reasons why it could happen.
Okay, so it's like a second chance if they, during open enrollment, had signed up for something, not
right.
just even when they turned 65 and signed up, like in March when they turned 65. It could be if they did open enrollment, which is October 15th to December 7th.
Right.
They signed up for it, and it was a oops already then. They could still switch it January 1st.
Yeah, so that's probably okay. the two main reasons why you would even make that change. And it's not. I mean, the Medicare disenrollment period is obviously not a very commercial time, not like the annual enrollment period where you see tons and tons of commercials. The companies yeah. are trying to get you to sign up. The Medicare disenrollment period isn't highly advertised because companies aren't trying to get you to
get
drop
out of their
plans.
Plan.
But
okay.
And, you know, so agents generally will use it as a strategic time to work with people who maybe, you know, they saw the light for whatever reason. They you know, did a little more research. They talked to somebody and they're like, wait a minute, I don't want this. We have several people every year that we use this time to get them back into a supplement. But you have to be real careful with the timing because you only have a limited window to make sure that if they have to go through medical underwriting, they better be approved before you drop them out of the other plan, or they're going to go the whole year with only Medicare.
Because it isn't a long window. It's like 6 weeks. So they can't walk in on February 10th and say, hey.
Not typically. I mean, I would, you know, or the underwriting, medical underwriting process is short for supplements. It's, I mean, you're looking probably at around a week or less for most companies. So it's not a, but, you know, things happen. Things get mm-hmm. hung up, papers get, you know, whatever happens. I mean, it's the world of we live in. You just want to leave yourself enough time. People don't like to sweat it out and, you know, hope they have coverage at mm-hmm. the first of the month. So
during annual enrollment, they could also do the same thing.
Oh, definitely.
The disenrollment's just like that extra chance to do it. So during annual enrollment, let's say I'm on Medicare Advantage plan for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm past my 1 year look back, free mm-hmm. health check, no health check kind
right.
of a thing or whatever it was. So I'm in annual enrollment period at that time too. I could get out of the Advantage and go back onto a supplemental plan.
Right.
Okay.
And here's just, we sometimes as agents will push that to the beginning of the year because in the annual enrollment period, the companies are taxed to the hilt. I mean, everything is drawn out 2 or 3 times longer. And so if you're trying to put somebody through an underwriting process, then that can be a little trickier. So if you don't have to do it then, you know, we'll often say, well, look, let's get back together in January and we'll do it then because we'll have much more time and everybody can relax a little bit. And, mm-hmm. you know, and usually they're a little more open to that because it'd be the same difference anyway if they didn't.
Well, if they go through the disenrollment period, when does their new policy start then? If they go back to a supplemental plan in lieu of the Advantage plan, when does that policy date start?
You're working with 2 dates, either February 1st or March 1st.
Oh, because if you do the disenrollment in January, you can get on a new plan as early as February 1st?
It'll be February
1st. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever you submit that application for the prescription drug plan, the first is the date that everything changes. So as an agent, if you're doing a supplement plan, you know, you're gonna go, all right, February 1st or March 1st.
So the timing of this, you said when you apply for the prescription plan, you're automatically disenrolled from Advantage. So when does someone go apply for the supplemental plan? Do you try to make sure that's in force before you
exactly.
change the prescription plan?
Exactly. Before
so
you ever do anything else.
So that's why you keep talking about the dates being important, the timing being
yep.
important, whether the agencies are taxed with other responsibilities and things like that.
Right.
Okay, so any other ramifications of dropping a Medicare Advantage plan?
I mean, really, you know, as long as you have that supplement in place and the right prescription drug plan, that's about the size of it. And again, it's just a time where people who don't want to be in Advantage plan and they want to be in Original Medicare with the supplement, it gives them a second opportunity to do it. It doesn't really get any deeper than that, at least not that I've discovered over the last 5 years of you know, having that time period to work with. So
I had another question, and then I started looking at something, and now I've what was I going to ask?
I can't read your mind.
I know, I can't remember. Are there people out there who don't get a supplemental plan?
Yes.
How common is that? And then what happens? Okay, so you know how on with our new Affordable Care Act,
right,
people have to show that they have adequate coverage and that kind of thing. So Medicare count, well, no, that's for under 65. Medicare counts as adequate coverage, but someone doesn't have to have the other 20%. If you don't have...
Oh, you're not required to, no.
You're not required to.
No. It's not, I mean, if it's not... We certainly wouldn't recommend having 20% cost exposure on
right.
medical unlimited. There's no cap on that. So if you have any kind of assets at all, I mean, that would just be, you know, a bad idea. I mean, a Medicare Advantage plan, in our opinion, is better than just Medicare alone if that's the two options you're weighing. You know, and of course, people might make that decision based on their budget and, you know,
So if someone can't afford the supplemental plan, maybe they risk it.
Right.
They have the Medicare. The Medicare is going to cover most, but not all.
Right.
They still might have copays, and they still might have a 20% kind of coinsurance responsibility.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So let's say someone made that decision, and that was they started with Medicare. They made the decision not to get any supplemental plan. 6 months in, they say, you know what? I got a new job or a part-time job, and now I want to get a supplemental plan. Can they pick up a supplemental plan whenever they want?
You know, let me give you a real quick example of that exact situation. I had a gentleman I talked to right around the time he turned 65, and we had looked at a supplement. He decided, for whatever reason, he just, you know, didn't make up his mind to get it. And then he called me 6 months later. We didn't get his application in time. He had to go through underwriting, and he was borderline going to get accepted because he had some medical things that were looming. Let's just say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We did end up getting him coverage, but it was not a cut and dry situation. So again, in insurance, I mean, the last thing you want to do is wait to do something.
Mm-hmm. So that look back period again, that underwriting period is 6 months, or why did I think it was a year?
You have
six
a
months?
6 month open enrollment from the month of your birthday. So if your birthday is in January, you have until the end of June. I always get this confused.
Let's say it's the end of June.
We just say that?
Yeah, we can just say that.
Is this being recorded? and then after that, all bets are off. They're now asking medical questions.
Then you have to go under underwriting. Okay, so for the first 6 months,
right?
No underwriting.
Correct.
Okay. Good to know, folks. We are on our last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about Medicare tonight, that there's an annual enrollment, disenrollment, there's Medicare Original, there's Medicare Advantage. Lots of information to navigate and understand, and it can appear to be very, very complicated, and it helps to talk to someone who knows how to navigate the decisions that need to be made. I have in the studio with me this evening Daniel Banks from Silvercrest Insurance, and we're talking about just how to navigate and understand all the alphabet letter soup of Medicare. If you have questions, we still have time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. I want to also fit in, so I'm going to talk for a moment about the Medicare insurance premiums, Part B, that you pay through your Social Security payments typically. For those folks who have turned age 65 and do not have Social Security, you may be writing a check. Your premium may be a bit different, but for 2016, $121.80, Dan, does that?
That's correct.
That's what my little chart shows. So what I wanted to kind of point out to people, especially for folks who haven't gone on Medicare yet, that your premiums may not be what you expect if you have income fluctuations. What do I mean by that? Well, traditionally, years ago, everyone pretty much paid the same premium for their Medicare Part B, and it came out of your Social Security. Then I can't even remember what year it was, they started doing an adjustment and a premium. What do they call it? Is there a phrase for it, Dan, where a premium?
Income-related monthly adjustment.
There you go. Income-related monthly adjustment. See, this is why I have Dan here tonight. The income-related monthly adjustment based on the income on your tax return, which the IRS supplies to Social Security, but they're always a little behind. So it might look back 2 years for the current year's premium adjustment. So for people in 2016, if your premium's not $121.80, but some higher amount, it might be because your 2014 income tax return was above certain thresholds. For single folks, that threshold is $85,000 to $107. There's an incremental premium. And I thought I had brought those dollar amounts with me, but they gave us the total. So it goes from $121.80 to $170.50. If your income's between $107 and $160, your premium goes up to $243 and change. If it's $160,000 to $214, it goes up to $316 and change. And if you're a single person and your income's above $214, your Medicare premium is going to be $389, which looks very $389.80, which sounds very different than that $121.80. Now, for married filing joint, the thresholds are higher. The first threshold's $170. And it also incrementally goes up, $170 to $214, $214 to $320, $320 to $428. And above $428, married filing joint couples will also pay $389. And that applies to each of you. So when we're, you know, working with clients, you're doing tax returns, we want to look to see if there are ways or strategies that we can control your page one income, your adjusted gross income, to help kind of manage the increase on those premiums. So if you're someone who's working and you're married filing joint and your page one income's $171,000 and you could do extra money into a 401k or an IRA, we're going to see if we can do a little bit of that to get your income below these thresholds. So you want to make sure that you're looking at that. The other thing to point out, and Dan had a case recently as well, where someone came in and said, hey, they're charging me these income-related premium adjustments, and you know, I'm retired. I can't afford these big payments anymore. Well, what had happened is that he had retired and had a big severance pay. So Medicare will adjust for premiums if they know that you had an event. Now, the event can't be that you cashed in stock and had a gain of $150,000, but the event might be that you retired or something like that. So there is a form to complete if you don't agree with the premium adjustment or if you have a valid reason to ask Medicare to just look at your current income. So that's one thing they will ask. They'll say, okay, if they're not going to do an income, an adjustment back down, if, you know, now that you're retired, you're going to sell something and make $500,000 the next year. They want to know that indeed your income is going down and is going to stay down. Okay, so watch out for the income related premium adjustments if you're above certain thresholds. Dan, we had someone call in. He said he's a Bill. Hi, Bill. He's looking to switch insurance, part of it being Medicare. Is it better to go see a local person or is it okay to buy online?
Well, I guess I'm a little biased on this one, but I'd say, first of all, it's probably a matter of personal choice. How do you want to sit down and actually see the person that you're doing business with? But the one caveat I would give you if you're going to buy insurance online is that when you enter your information into that box or whatever, there are sites where you do that those sites actually sell your information to agents as leads, their lead sites, and when you hit click, when you click submit, you might get about 10 to 50 calls right away. Your phone will be ringing off the hook. So if you enjoy that sort of thing, then, you know, and you're looking for someone to talk to, then do that.
But let's go back, because you've mentioned this before in a previous show, and this is to Bill's question, too, about local or online. You mentioned that you ask the folks for the prescriptions that they're on.
Correct.
Would an online site vet out what prescriptions might be covered on certain insurance plans versus others?
You know, it really varies. You're kind of rolling the dice. I mean, you know, who are you talking to when you go online to buy insurance? Are you dealing with a person who has been doing this for 2 months or 10 years? You know, and are they going to ask you that information? It's a good question. I mean, I've had a variety of different experiences with that over the years where we had other agents the person was working with and they did a good job. So I can't sit here and say that you're never going to get somebody who will do a good job for you. But I would say your chances are infinitely lower because they're not going to spend the kind of time with you. And then where do they go after you're done purchasing your insurance, even if you get it right the first time? I mean, do you have that person to go back to and talk to next year or 2 years or 5 years from now? You want to know that you have someone. In my opinion, I know how I do business on my own when I'm looking to do, you know, personal stuff. I want to know that the people I deal with are going to be around to service me.
Well, I know someone that had talked to you, and they had a question, again, similar to my question earlier, but it was a different situation, where they had to choose between staying on a retiree medical plan or going on one of the supplemental plans, and you went through it with them and said that the retiree medical plan that they had through the employer would work for them.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
So would that online service?
No. Okay. No. And that's it. I mean, we, you know, if you feel that small businesses who value their reputation are worth doing business with, you know, we feel that that person is going to come and see us maybe in 2 years from now. We don't need them today. We know that they'll tell five friends, you know, and we're confident of that. But you call that person online, you're not referring five people to them, and I guarantee you not everybody wants to do that. So there's definitely a difference. I'm obviously, like I said, in the first place, I'm very biased about it because I feel that we do a very thorough and good job, and you know, and we give all the options. We're, you know, we're not a one trick pony. We deal with a lot of different carriers, and so, you know, that's, if you can find it, that's who you want. You probably want to talk to.
Bill, thanks for calling in. That was a great question. So, thinking about the supplemental plans, the A through N, you said there's about 10. You're very familiar with all of them because you've been doing it so long. So, for example, I had asked at one of the break, "Hey, do you have any idea what kind of premiums these supplemental plans have?" And you have an idea of those premiums.
Yeah, pretty specifically, sure.
Right. So back to the point with my other question where someone had said, "Hey, I have a $200 premium." So can you give me an example of what give me just one plan, give me the sure. supplemental amount, and then I want to compare it to some of the other criteria you said. That's not the end-all be-all. It's not just comparing premiums. I want to go through that example a little bit. So
for a 65-year-old person, the most comprehensive supplement right now available in this area is an F plan, as in Frank, and that plan is going to be about $130 a month. In addition to that, they're going to need a prescription plan, and those plans on average are between $20 and $60 a month. And again, that really depends on their prescriptions. The average, national average, is $37.
Okay.
So
that's kind of right in that
realm.
Realm that other gentleman said that he could get through his wife's employer. But you said that's not all there is to compare. You
no.
want to compare the co-pays. You want to compare the co-insurance amounts
Well, the one thing that we do a lot of business with employers, small employers, small to large, actually. And we do a lot of comparisons exactly like that, where people come to us for that exact thing. And so that's the analysis we do. We run the numbers. We consider the medications, of course. We look at the coverage versus what are you getting for that. And we let the people make their own decision. These days, because of the ACA, Obamacare, if you want to call it that, the employers are struggling to provide good group coverage to people, and it is definitely not the norm to have real good comprehensive coverage. I mean, you're looking at deductibles in $3,000-$4,000 range for a lot of companies, and the employee is still paying in $300 or $400 a month. Mm-hmm. So when we start looking at that kind of comparison, it's literally we see more people going to Medicare as a relief.
Right, you know? And I do see more of the employer plans having higher co-pays now, too, this year. It's my husband's plan. I mean, a lot of the co-pays are going up as well. So the supplemental plans may not have as high of co-pays, possibly.
Well, with Medicare and the F supplement, you have no co-pays, no deductibles, no co-insurance. I mean, you have, like, almost the indemnity plan of yesteryear, and the only real sticking point is the prescription drug plans can be a little difficult. So
okay, well, it's good to know that there are people out there like you that can help people navigate through all of that. Dan, if folks want to reach you, how do they reach you?
The best way to get us is our website, www.silvercrestins.com, www.silvercrestins.com, or we're local, 610-868-5801.
Dan, thanks for being here. I'm sure you'll be back again because great. I myself cannot navigate this subject. So
thanks,
I thank
Lori.
You for being here.
You bet.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Bill, for calling in, and my other person who sent in the question. John, thanks for being here. Judy Ann, thanks. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Next week, folks, I am going to have a guest. We're talking about financial planning for special needs. So financial planning for special needs next week. Financial planning applies to everyone, but special considerations for folks with special needs, children, family members, etc. So remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.
And Lori, you have a great week also.
Thanks, John. Good night.
All right. You have been listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. In the Tradition follows news from NPR. The time is 7:01.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. A bill that would pause the resettlement of Syrian and Iraqi refugees in the U.S. has failed in the Senate. As NPR's Elsa Chang reports, Democrats would only